We're also joined by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Dan Reilly, we saw how Republicans used to be very concerned about the environment and conservation. More recently, energy industry groups aligned with the GOP have led the effort to kind of muddle the debate on climate change. You're a young person and you're a parent also, so you have a concern for the future generation. I wonder if this concerns you.
Well, I think climate change, it does concern me. I think it concerns a lot of people. I think it concerns a lot of Republicans. And I think that oftentimes with this, as with many other issues, you know, the parties are tried that you can put them into boxes, or they try to get put into boxes on these issues. And you think that everyone who's a Republican is opposed to it or doesn't believe in it. And everyone who's a Democrat does. And I think it's a much bigger issue than that. That's a very simple way to describe it. I think there are valid policy debates to be had with regards to what we can do as an economy, as a government, and to the extent to which man-made effects are creating or exacerbating the effects of climate change. But, you know, that's different from saying, do you believe in it? Or, you know, does it exist?
Right? But the energy industry has really pumped tens of many millions of dollars into kind of muddling this debate and raising doubt about it when 90+ percent of the scientific community agrees that climate change is a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the areas where there have been policy debates, I mean, you have people who say it doesn't exist at all, right? And I'm not in that camp. I really don't think when you drill down to it, how many people in the Republican Party or any party are really truly in that camp vis-a-vis the rest of the population. But after you get past that, you have the question of to what extent are recent trends, what we've done, what has industry done responsible for that, for climate change? And then where I think where you see industry get involved is then the attempts to regulate specific industries as a result of that. And there, I don't think there's consensus as to the best approaches. I think, you know, industry and their lobbyists have spent a lot of money to help create a lot of ambiguities in that debate. But I don't think everything they've said is wrong or shouldn't be, you know, looked into and investigated. But that being said, from a 30,000-foot view, I think it's here, it's happening, we're all experiencing it. And by the way, it's happened forever.
But aren't a lot of these things even cross-party? They're very regional. I look at some of these oil and coal state senators. You know, Senator Imhoff from Oklahoma is showing up famously with the snowball, you know, on the Senate floor. And there is a lot of climate deniers there. I'm wondering, again, how you feel about offshore drilling off the New England coast.
In my time in office, I never gave that much thought to offshore drilling because, honestly, we always joked about if we had oil off the coast of Rhode Island, we would drill for it and then we wouldn't have to worry about our budget deficits. So I don't think it's there. I think, you know, I'm more concerned about use of our offshore waters for large-scale, utility-scale wind farms than offshore drilling. I mean, that has an impact on the environment and what you see. I mean, granted, you're not going to have an oil spill with a wind turbine, but I think we've identified our highest and best use of Rhode Island waters.
You formerly represented a House district in Portsmouth and Middletown that was a very flippy district. It would go from Republican to Democrat and back again. There's new leadership at the state GOP with Sue Cianchi now serving as chairwoman. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be on how Republicans can gain more legislative seats in Rhode Island?
Well, I think focusing on communities where we've had success at local elections, at the local level, it will beget success at the state level. We have many communities where we have very talented Republicans elected to school committees and town councils, and they have an all-Democrat delegation to the General Assembly, or the seat in which that particular school committee or town council member sits in is represented by a Democrat. And for some reason, we have not really effectively made that jump and really elevated people like the Democrats have. My advice to Chairwoman Cianchi is to really double down on that strategy.
What do you think about Bill Weld and some of the never-Trumpers in the Republican Party? Weld has been actively running around New Hampshire, campaigning, wants to be the alternative to Trump. Is that a serious threat to the president or not really?
I don't think it's a serious threat to the president. I think, and in interest of full disclosure, I was running to be a delegate for Marco Rubio in 2016. I was a delegate for Mitt Romney in 2012, but I wasn't elected in 2016. There are many of us in the party who have differences with the president on many issues. Certainly style is one of them, and you can put me in that camp. But I've always felt that it's particularly with this president, if you are opposed to a policy or a style or a strategy, it's best to try to influence that process from the inside than try to mount a futile effort from the outside when you're likely not to be successful.
We're talking here with former State Rep Dan Riley. And Dan, we've seen how reaction to the Mueller report has broken largely along partisan lines. Democrats are more critical than Republicans. I wonder, as a Republican, did this report raise any deep concerns for you?
No, I think the report was fairly straightforward. I mean, I think Bob Mueller did a responsible job. A lot of the debate now is people who aren't lawyers, aren't career prosecutors, trying to read into a prosecutor's report and understanding that or failing to understand that prosecutors have discretion here. I don't think the White House has done itself a lot of favors, starting well before the report was released. And certainly it could have been managed a lot better, and I think the fallout would have been different. But I think you have, you know, relatively complicated legal subjects that prosecutors wrestle with at great length over the course of regular prosecutions that now are being discussed on cable news. And as we all know, that's not always the best forum to get the best answer on either side here.
Given what we know about the 2016 election and foreign, specifically Russian, interference, don't you think it's time that we take a hard look and push some more measures that would protect the ballot?
Yeah. I mean, look, election security is always an issue, particularly as we go to electronic poll books, as we are just everything's on the internet, right? Everything's connected without question. Whether or not we have intruders from foreign countries or we have intruders in the U.S., this isn't an issue that's going to be solely on one, you know, foreign or domestic, right? It's always going to be a threat. And we really have to start doubling down on a strategy to harden the infrastructure and protect it.
Do you see yourself running for political office again in the future?
Well, you know, this isn't professional football, so I do have a little bit of time ahead of me. I'm 29 now. We'll be 30 in July, so I think I have a few years left in me. You know, my wife, I would have to run it by her. We have an 18-month-old son, and so our hands are full. You know, I certainly enjoy it and staying involved in any way I can, but we have a lot going on.
And I'm sure you still talk with your former constituents in Portsmouth and Middletown. What are the top concerns for people there these days?
People in Portsmouth and Middletown, we have a lot of Navy families. We have a lot of families who have for a long time commuted to Boston for work. What you hear from people are not just Rhode Island-focused issues. The environment's always been important on Aquidneck Island, open space preservation, quality of life. I think the consistent issue, aside from things like jobs in the economy, which will always rank number one no matter where you ask, is government reform, efficiency, getting a return for the tax dollar, right? Traditional ideas. It's a district that when I knocked on doors, that's something they always wanted to talk to. And that was the issue that was connected to so many other things, whether it was infrastructure or education or local government, local and state pension, that sort of thing.
You know, I hear that all over, but nothing ever gets done about it. People love in the kind of existential way, oh, we've got too many school systems, too many pension systems, too many water systems. Let's have some regionalization. We're a small state. We could save money, get efficiencies. And yet, whenever you get into the details, people rebel. They seem to like their identity and their little local parochial type of institutions.
I agree with you that, you know, we need to have those debates. And I think we need to have a lot of those things. I don't think you'll ever see a concrete proposal come from the legislature because of its very nature. You know, legislators are representing 15,000 people on the House side, just under 30,000 on the Senate side. They're not going to come to the assembly with some sort of global solution. That being said, I think it's incumbent upon the governor to lay out a solution. And quite honestly, I think it would be well responded to by the assembly. You know, obviously specifics have to be discussed, but in terms of consolidating state agencies, regionalizing some services, you talk about water systems and fire districts, there's a lot we can do when you look at what other counties and states do. And I think that leadership has to come from the top.
That's all the time we have. So thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And former state rep Dan Riley, a Republican from Portsmouth.
Thanks for having me.